Trust, belief, and accountability.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano.
Our team will be built around a humble, unselfish attitude of sacrifice.
Brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
Well, hello there. Good evening and welcome in to the latest edition of Buccaneers Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. It's great to be with you tonight in the aftermath of a Tampa Bay 42-32 historic win at Oakland as the Bucs get their first ever victory against the Raiders in Oakland. Obviously, we know about the famous Super Bowl win 10 years ago, but that one was in San Diego. What is it with this Buccaneers can't win on the West Coast anymore? Tampa Bay goes out to Seattle in 2009 and wins, goes to San Francisco and wins in 2010 in a shutout, and then yesterday a wild affair, but yet another victory for this Buccaneer franchise, beating the Raiders 42-32. And why don't we delve in to what will be a very fun highlight segment, especially if you are a Buccaneer fan, as we begin things here on Total Access on this Monday night. Let's start with the first half of this football game, where the Raiders actually got an early field goal from Sebastian Janikowski to lead 3-0. That field goal was actually set up by an Oakland blocked field goal of Connor Barth's attempt. So a 3-0 Raider lead as we pick it up here with the highlights. And the Buccaneers had just hit a long pass play to Vincent Jackson, which had covered 64 yards to set them up into scoring position here in the second quarter. And that's when Josh Freeman was once again looking for Vincent Jackson in the corner of the end zone.
One in the backfield now. Martin was in there. Here's a fade route toward Jackson. Makes the catch. 2 feet down. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Great throw, Freeman. Great grab, Vincent Jackson. And the Bucs take the lead 6-3.
Yes, and for Vincent Jackson, yet another a tremendous catch, a toe tap there in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown, his 8th touchdown of the season in 8 games already, and Tampa Bay would have their first lead at 7-3. And then later on in that first half, the Raiders would actually answer with a touchdown of their own on a Carson Palmer a 25-yard strike to Rod Streeter, one of their speed receivers on the outside. Bucks had a chance for a field goal near the end of the first half that went wide left. So at halftime, 10-7, the Raiders would lead it. And then a trend that has been a tremendous trend for the Buccaneers going back over the last few games, come out of the locker room with the kickoff to start the second half, march right down the field, and then eventually it would be Doug Martin with the beginning of an awesome second half and an unreal Buccaneer rushing day, would get it cranked up here in the third quarter, trailing 10-7. It was time for him to take one to the house.
Loring shifts to the right side, I formation. Handoff, stretch handoff goes to Martin. Spins through to the 40, to the 35, to the near sideline, 30, to the 35, to the 20. 15, 10, 5-yard line, touchdown Tampa Bay. Doug Martin with a whole heap of want-to.
That capped an 80-yard drive in 6 plays, 45-yard touchdown. At that point, the longest of Doug Martin's career. Stay tuned, as that touchdown put the Buccaneers in front really for good at that moment. We didn't know it. It would take a while. It would be a little hairy at times, but the Buccaneers never trailed after that touchdown run to lead 14-10. So the Buck defense got a 3-and-out, got the football back with good field position at their own 40-yard line, and then quickly a big pass play to Mike Williams, a catch and run of 37 yards. We saw him once again making plays. You move the ball inside the Oakland 10-yard line, a big false start penalty actually on, or actually a big offsides penalty on Oakland, helped give the Bucs a first and goal. It's second and goal now here with a 14-10 lead when Freeman again is looking for the corner of the end zone.
Second down, goal moving left on your radio dial, leading 14-10. Freeman under center, Ted Larson, play action fake, sold it nicely, rolling to his right, Freeman throws a pass, far sideline, caught ball, touchdown Tampa Bay! Great throw to Mike Williams on a crossing pattern, and Freeman sells that play fake perfectly.
He absolutely did, and Mike Williams again had to toe tap with the 2 feet, and I said on the radio broadcast, the guy has become a magician with those sideline catches and end zone catches, and once again, his touchdown gave the Buccaneers a comfortable cushion at that moment at 21-10, and that was just the beginning of the offensive show. Again, two possessions, two touchdowns. The defense then ends up getting an interception by Leonard Johnson after Oakland had picked up a couple of first downs. It's Buccaneer football in their own territory. And on the second play of the next drive, it was Doug Martin time again.
It is second down 9 from the 33 moving left. Out of the offset eye, handoff, Doug Martin running left, finds a little crease. He breaks the tackle to the 40, to the 50-yard line. Doug Martin, 45 to the 40. Doug Martin to the 30, to the 20-yard line, to the 15, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. It's the Doug Martin Show in Oakland.
Yes, Mean Gene is calling it there. It truly was the Doug Martin Show at that moment as he burst past 100 yards rushing, 150 yards rushing in the game with that run alone. And at that moment, two plays, 68 yards. It made the score 28-10 late in the third quarter, and you were feeling good about what you were seeing out of the Buccaneers. So things rolled into the fourth quarter. And to give the Raiders credit here, playing at home, their crowd had been taken out of the game. They're able to move down the field. They finally get a touchdown from Carson Palmer to the tight end Myers. They kick the extra point. It's 28-17, so there's still a lot of time left in this game, and that's when the Buccaneers get the ball back after Regis Benn returned to kick out to the 30-yard line. Guess who would be calling yet again on a handoff and a run that would basically make Buccaneer history?
14:03 to go, fourth quarter. Bucks have the ball, move right from the 30. Hand the ball off. Doug Martin, a counter run. Martin to the 35, to the 40. Martin to the 45, to the 50. Martin to the 45, to the 40. Martin to the 30. Martin to the 20. Martin to the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. It's a 70-yard touchdown by Doug Martin. Is there anything number 22 can't do?
Yes, and again, behind an offensive line that had seen Ted Larson move to center, seen Jeremy Zutta to replace the injured Carl Nix move to left guard on that run. We could go on and on for a couple of minutes about the significance of that run. On that run, Doug Martin became the first Buccaneer to have a touchdown day of three touchdowns of 45 yards or more. It has now been confirmed by the NFL that Doug Martin has become the first running back in the history of the NFL to have a 45-yard or more touchdown run three times in a single half of an NFL game. At last check that I saw, they were still checking about whether it had happened in a game in its entirety, but certainly in one half, a 45, a 67, and a 70-yard touchdown run. Incredible for him. And with that 70-yard run, Doug Martin broke James Wilder's 29-year-old Buccaneers single-game rushing record. Racing by that record, he got around 250 yards at that moment of the game to jack that record up. So actually, he got over 260 with that touchdown run. So incredible stats that Doug Martin was piling up. Now, as I mentioned, it was a wild game. And again, give the Raiders credit. They drive down. They eventually get a touchdown with a fourth down conversion. The game is 35-24. The Buccaneers end up giving the ball back. But then the Buccaneer defense makes a huge play right here in the fourth quarter.
Biggers picks up Streeter on the near side. Second down, 10, shotgun formation. Palmer from the 38. Palmer dropping, gets the pass away, throws down the sideline. Intercepted, picked off by Ahmad Black to the 40, 35 to the 30. Ahmad Black will stay in bounds and falls down at the 21-yard line. Ahmad Black's got his second pick. Could that end the comeback rally by the Raiders? We'll know in a few. 2:27 left.
Enormous play there, as Gene was calling it. Again, the game was 35-32 at that moment. Ahmad Black, who had earlier recovered an onside kick, comes up with the interception. It didn't take long. Doug Martin runs for 13 yards. He runs for 8 yards. And then on a second and goal at the 1-yard line, another touchdown for number 22.
From a yard away, first down goal, handoff Martin running to the left. He dives off left tackle. He's into the promised land again. Four touchdowns for Doug Martin. This was the shortest one of the day, a 1-yarder. And his teammates surround him and give him high fives and pat him on the shoulder. And how about this Buccaneer offense?
Another superlative for Martin. He becomes the first Buccaneer running back to have four touchdowns rushing in a single game with that fourth touchdown run. Makes the game 42-32, and then time for one more defensive stop. The Raiders with the ball back going to the no huddle, and the Bucs put the game away on defense right here.
From the 25, here's Carson Palmer throws upfield. It's intercepted by Biggers at the 42. Buccaneers have come up with a third turnover of the game, the third pick thrown by Palmer. And this time it's E.J. Biggers. Leonard Johnson's got one. Ahmad Black's got one. And now E.J.
So E.J. Bigger's interception, as Gene Deckerhoff was mentioning there, the third on the day and the final blow there to win the game, ultimately for Tampa Bay, 42-32. And now we get a chance to exhale after all of that and say hello and good evening here to the head coach, Greg Schiano on Buccaneers Total Access. Wild. We just went over the highlights. Wild second half. But your team comes away with the win, did a lot of great things. Your thoughts now that we've had a day or so to think about it and see it on tape, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'm proud of the guys that the way they fought through that game. You know, you travel all the way across the country and you get ready to play a game and you start, and we didn't start real fast. I thought we were a little bit sloppy. But as we played our way through it and we got into the halftime down in the score a little bit, we talked about we needed to slow the game down a little bit, take a deep breath and just do our job and we'd be fine. And they came out. I'll tell you, I was really, really happy with the way they came out to start the third quarter, just executing and playing and scoring points. And then, as you mentioned, it turned into a shootout there in the fourth quarter. And, you know, a couple of plays that just by inches or the games, you know, we put it out of reach, a couple potential interceptions, just real close, but didn't happen. So it got interesting there at the end. But, again, just some really, really super efforts. And, you know, first and foremost, Doug Martin, just an incredible performance. You know, for people say, you know, what a great job for a rookie. What a great job, period. I mean, it was a really a fine effort. And it doesn't do it by himself. You know, the offensive line, you know, down a few key guys, you know, fighting like crazy and opening up some holes, and Doug running through them and really good. And then Josh, I think, really running our offense and taking what's there and did a really good job. So, and defensively, you know, stepped up and made plays when we had to. Three takeaways, which were key in the game. And really, I think, a team effort, you know, all three phases.
Back to the offensive line for just a second. We cannot emphasize enough the job that these guys, I mean, shuffling the line again because of injury. Ted Larson moves to center, which he's played some before. Jeremy Zutas played left guard before, but this is kind of something that needs to be emphasized. This is a new offense, some new zone schemes and blocking schemes, et cetera, et cetera. They don't miss a beat there with those guys. That's got to be very satisfying and reassuring.
Well, you know, I think the guys really work very, very hard in practice to understand what's going on. And I think the cumulative reps that we build over the course of the season through training camp and then into the regular season, hopefully that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing that start to pay off. And you're right, when you change positions, though, those cumulative reps aren't there. But I think, like you said, we cross-train guys because in the NFL you don't have but seven or eight guys up on a given game day. So some guys need to know two positions. So that has helped, really, in this situation. But my hat's off to those guys. They played well and gave us a chance to win.
We will talk much more with the head coach here tonight, including taking your phone calls. You can join us as the show goes on. Here tonight on the phones, we'll give out the numbers in a couple of moments, and we will have more on this win over the Raiders. We'll look ahead to the San Diego Chargers as well. It's Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we're back in here with the head coach on this Monday night after a 42-32 win over the Oakland Raiders. And again, we will take your phone calls coming up wherever you're able to hear the show. Locally in the Tampa Bay area, 990-4620. If you're in Hillsboro, if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll free wherever you can hear the show at 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. You can also tweet in a question or a comment if you like. Fire one to me at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy, and we'll get those along to the coach. So, as we said just before the timeout, there is so much that we can go over, and obviously Doug Martin and the run game has gotten much of the attention. But one of the things that you made mention of just before the timeout, Josh Freeman, able to once again have another solid game. There was a big pass play to Vincent Jackson all the way back in the first half. Led to a touchdown, touchdown throw to Vincent Jackson. There was a touchdown again in the second half, a catch and run by Mike Williams. Just assess how Josh managed the game, how the offense as a whole played, and how you worked the pass game in addition to the run game, Coach.
Well, I think Josh, first of all, played well. you know, I thought he handled the game just the way we wanted him to. He was smart with the football, number one. Was able to manipulate the clock the way we wanted to him at different points during the game. And I think really being able to get us into the right plays, you know, depending on what Oakland did. They changed up a little bit. You know, I think with respect to Vince and to Mike, and, you know, I think we kind of settled in the second half and said, hey, look, if they're going to play two safeties high, we're going to make them pay for it and run the football. And we had to be patient in doing that, but certainly – you know, Josh was a big part of seeing that all and getting us in the right play.
Explain a little more about what you mean about getting us into the right play. Fans are always curious about what you mean by things like that.
Well, there's certain plays that we have a two-play check on where, depending on what the defense is doing, you know, we're going to run this unless, and then we'll run this. And it's not always easy to read. They don't kind of put it out there on a platter for you. You have to be able to see the signals and see the signs that about what they're about to do right before the ball snapped. And that takes film study, and that takes a lot of practice and understanding of what they're doing defensively, and Josh did a good job.
You made mention of the adjustment of seeing them do stuff with their safeties, and we felt like we were going to have to run against that. You know, again, that's part of the counterpunch, the punch-counterpunch of the NFL. Was that something that, as the game was going along, was it something at halftime that you were looking at and saying, we need to make this adjustment, or how does that work?
Well, as the game went along, we realized, and then at halftime, we kind of put together quickly our thoughts of what we wanted to do. But, I mean, it's constantly through the game. You're evaluating what we're doing, what's working, and why, and what they're doing and what's working and why, and then is this consistent to what we thought they would do? Because, you know, you develop your game plan based on what they've done against teams similar to you. But during the game, you have to say, are they sticking to that plan? And if they're not, then you have to adapt and you have to change course a little bit. And we did do that, and I thought Mike Sullivan, the offensive staff, did a great job of putting the guys in good position.
Again, back to the Doug Martin historic day, the most rushing yards in Buccaneer history. He becomes the first running back in the history of the NFL to have 3 45-yard or more touchdown runs in one half. They were still checking. I was looking earlier today at the NFL record book if it's happened in a game, but it's certainly in one half it's never happened. Why was he so successful? Why was the offense so successful in hitting that many big run plays in that half? Can you put your finger on a positive or two as to why it kept happening, Coach?
Well, first off, it starts and ends with the offensive line. If there's not a hole, it doesn't matter how good a running back you are. Now, the thing that Doug does a good job of and did a good job of yesterday was he was patient and he trusted the play. He trusted the lineman. You know, sometimes people want to see holes that are as big as a door. Sometimes they're not as big as a door. You know, sometimes you got to squeeze through a small bit of daylight, but when you do, you come popping out the other side, and it's you and one guy, maybe a safety or a corner. And Doug did a great job, I think, of when he did come popping through, realizing who the defenders remaining were and making them miss and get to the end zone.
There was a moment in the third quarter just before he broke the first touchdown run on the opening drive where he squirted kind of through, lost his footing a little bit, and I was watching him, and you may have seen this too, and you may have seen it also now on the tape as well, and he kind of smacked his hand on the ground a couple of times, like almost, almost, and then almost turned into bam, bam, bam. I guess is it not a testament to keep banging away, keep blocking them, and once he was able to keep his feet, made those big plays, right?
Well, really, it really is. And you know, what happens when you run the football is you get close, but if you're patient with it, all of a sudden they start popping out of there, and that's exactly what occurred.
How good do you feel? I mean, you feel good for the win, but, I mean, this is a young man from Stockton, California. He's got father in the stands, family in the stands to perform like that, and there were several players with friends and family there in the stands. I mean, how good do you feel for those guys to go back in front of family in Northern California and put on a performance like this team did?
Well, it's always nice when guys can go into their local area where they grew up and be able to play and show all their family and friends, you know, what they've made of themselves. And but, you know, that's never the primary focus, even for those guys. You know, you really got to be careful because sometimes that can become a distraction. People want tickets. People want to see you. They don't understand that how difficult the challenge is that you're about to embark upon. I think our guys are learning how to handle all that. And, you know, that was one of the things that you sit there with a rookie. Is he going to be able to be able to get his arms around all the things that need to get done and be prepared and ready to play. And I thought Doug did an excellent job. The results speak for themselves.
We have seen two games in a row now in a hostile environment in the second half of a game, crowd going crazy, your team able to respond on both sides of the ball and be able to ultimately win the game. That's the measure of a good football team and being able to handle those situations. What goes into being able to handle that adversity on the road, especially, and be able to pull it out? Why?
Well, I think it's their training. You know, they have to be able to trust their training, and the bigger and the tougher the situation, the more they have to trust their training. What happens to guys in clutch situations or in pressure situations is they try to do more. They try to do something above and beyond and outside what they've been trained to do. You know, that's why you practice. You practice and you practice and you practice, so that becomes instinct, that you do it in the clutch and you don't really have to think about it. You just go out and do it. And, you know, I saw our guys, you know, almost collectively a deep breath and, okay, this is getting a little bit sticky here. Let's just hit the reset button and go do what we know how to do. And they certainly did that.
As the game was going along, I love the insight as much as you will give us into you and what you're doing. I mean, he breaks off a couple of long touchdown runs. It's 35-17, and you're still looking up on the clock, and there's a whole quarter to go. Were you emphasizing we still have a whole quarter here, even though you've hit them with big plays and it's 35-17? Was anything needing to be said? But there was a ton of time still left, Coach.
Well, anybody who's been in this league knows if there's time, you have things to worry about, because the athletes that are playing and the quarterbacks that are throwing, you know, Carson Palmer, here's a guy who's thrown for over 25,000 yards in the National Football League. You know, he's not sweating that. That's a couple touchdown drives and you're in it. So, but what we did know is they were going to come out throwing the ball. And especially with the running back situation being what it was with the injuries that happened during the game and the point differential. And sure enough, they did. They came out throwing the ball.
Yeah, and they were able to have some success, obviously. They were able to get a couple touchdowns. They were able to get the two-point conversion. But again, the measure of this thing is that when it came down to the final 2 or 3 minutes, you got the stops. And I know, you know, calling upon an Ahmad Black, who's a young guy, or calling upon E.J. Biggers, as you've done in the secondary, to go and make plays. Again, how rewarding was it to watch the tape and watch those plays being made there at the end when you had to have them?
That's what teams do that win. You know, you have to be able to make a play in the clutch, and that's what they did. And I think, you know, as we evaluate players, are they clutch players? And that's not an easy thing to figure out. So I was really pleased.
Again, the Buccaneers go and get this victory at 42-32. And, you know, just take me through what, I mean, we had a long flight, get back in the middle of the night. What has the last 12 hours, 16 hours or so been like, trying to get literally feet back on the ground, watch the tape, get with the team, and get ready for the new opponent?
Well, the good thing, the long flight home, you get to watch a lot of tape. You know, we have our laptops with us on the plane, and then we got back out as a staff in the morning and watched it together and then moved on. You know, the one thing we get, once we get through with that and you analyze and you summarize and you make your suggestions, we make some decisions, and then we move forward. And the guys right now are working on San Diego and doing their individual work so we can get to game planning here quickly.
You know, I was just thinking when you were saying that for a long time, coaches would have to wait for a couple of days for the actual film to come in. It was a reel-to-reel film on a movie projector. How cool and convenient is it that you can be on the plane and already looking at the game because of technology? It's a different NFL world right now, right?
It really is. And, you know, I am probably the last generation or the last year of coaches that got to see it all. I got to see 16mm, and then I got to see the advent of all the different tapes, the beta, the ED beta, the super
VHS.
Wait,
were you ever responsible for running the projector at some point? Did you actually run the projector?
Oh, yeah.
What is that like?
More importantly, I was responsible for taking the actual 16mm tape out of the camera, driving it an hour to the film processor, and then waiting for it to get processed, which took a few hours, and then drive it back and make sure that the full-time, I was a graduate assistant, that the full-time coaches had it ready to go at 6 a.m. in the morning. You know, God forbid you were late with that tape, you were in a lot of trouble.
So, did they have an arrangement, or is the film place a 24-hour place? Or did you have to work out an arrangement, hey, we need you there in the middle of the night, and I'm going to stand here with this while
it's
dubbed?
It's all arranged. And, you know, like the bigger difference is practice. You know, we film every single thing we do out there in practice. We have four cameras going, and we come back, and it's up when we get upstairs from practice. Back in the day, you had one day the offense got the one camera, and then the next day the defense got the camera. So you only filmed practice. You had one camera, and you filmed it one day a week for each side of the ball. And it has really come a long way. And now guys moan and groan because the computer takes 5 seconds. Oh, why is it running so slow? You know, you used to have to literally cut it by hand, the tape, and splice it together if you wanted to make a training tape. Now you can do it with a point and click of the cursor.
It is definitely a different technological world. I wonder, I mean, I know you're into film study and so are players. Are there times where maybe you're sitting and saying, there is just too much tape on all of this, on practice, on games, or no, it's right up your alley?
No, there's never too much. I think, you know, information, if you can access information, so you have it in an organized manner and you have the manpower to get it, you know, broken down. So everything, as you know, is just when you break it down and put it in the computer doesn't know what it is. It just knows how to organize it. And so the guys that we have that break down the tape, our coaches and some of the young guys that we have here, it really gives us the ability to have really in-depth study of ourselves and our opponent, which, you know, as a coach, you know, that's your lifeline.
Great insight. So no in-flight movie last night. The in-flight movie was Buccaneers Raiders, is what you're saying.
That's for sure.
Last night was Bucks Raiders and maybe even Bucks and getting ready for the Chargers too. All right, we will have more with the head coach, including taking your phone calls. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. More with the coach coming up on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back in here on this Monday night, Buccaneers and the San Diego Chargers. Military Appreciation Day for Veterans Day this weekend. We're looking forward to that game. We're going to talk about the Chargers coming up in a few minutes. Right now, though, we'll take some phone calls from you folks. 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, again, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. If you're outside the Bay Area, 1-800-596-2827. Toll free number. And again, you can tweet me a question at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC Bucks Sideline Guy. And if we have an opportunity, we'll get to some of those there on Twitter. All right. So I asked this, you started to answer, and then I stopped. So it's a false start on me. You led me perfectly with you had to take the film and get the film transferred to tape when you were a graduate assistant, and it took hours. So I asked, what did you do for those hours? And you said, on some occasions, while the film's being developed.
Well, right next door from the place where they developed them, there was a Krispy Kreme. Before, there were Krispy Kremes all over the place. And you got to know the guy because every Tuesday night I was there with the tape. So, you know, when you're a graduate assistant, you don't have a lot of money. And he would give me a donut or two for free and a cup of coffee, and I'd hang out there and kind of read the paper and do stuff like that. So, good memories.
Did he ever let you start to make the donuts while you're standing around waiting? Did you ever try that?
No, didn't get into that.
None of that. None of that with the donut making. But the Krispy Kreme donuts, whatever that hot, fresh now button's on, look out. Look out for that. All right, you ready to go to the phones? Say hello to some fans here that want to say hey to you?
All set.
Here is Ryan in Tampa. He begins us tonight on Buccaneers Total Access here with the coach. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, coach, man, what a fantastic win. It's one of the most thrilling football games, period, that I've watched in a while. There's so many great things to take away from the game. With the running game of Doug Martin and Josh Freeman playing well, defense coming through and shutting down the run, making it basically non-existent. But I'd like to hear you talk a little bit on some of the negatives that you pulled away from the game. And then I'm more interested even in hearing you talk about the challenge of the three-step drop, of defending it with the Bucs personnel, you know, with our team. I noticed that he passed, I believe, with Carson Palmer dropped back 60-something times, trying to get their team back in the game. I'd just love to hear you talk about, you know, the challenge that posed for our team. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Ryan. And all good questions. I agree with you. There's a lot of positives. There were some things that we need to get cleaned up. And the good thing is you get to clean them up from the win column. And I've always said, you know, you can clean it up from either side, but it's a heck of a lot more enjoyable to do it from the W column. And, you know, your question about the three-step drop. Three-step drop's an interesting play to defend because there's different ways you can do it depending on how you're covering. If you're covering and you have any kind of vision back on the quarterback, then you teach your guys that are covering to read the three-step drop. And one of the things that is a tip to the three-step drop is as soon as the center snaps the quarterback takes the ball, and generally if it's going to be a five- or seven-step drop, he puts it somewhere in front of his chest, and it rotates back and forth kind of in conjunction with his legs crossing over. Where in a three-step drop, he takes the snap and the ball goes directly up near his ear because he's got to deliver it quickly, the quarterback does. So if you're playing with vision on the quarterback, we allow those guys to look for that and try to get a jump on it. Now, if you're not playing with vision on the quarterback because you're playing press coverage or your eyes are totally locked on the receiver, then you're going to be a little later in recognizing it because the receiver, you know, is going to be making a cut. Well, when the receiver's making a cut, the ball's already in the air. So it depends on what coverage you're playing, you know, how you're going to defend it. But it is a very efficient play for offenses. But when it goes bad, a lot of times those are tip passes that do get intercepted. You know, you don't. It's usually a way to take heat off your quarterback because you're not going to get pressured much in a three-step drop. But when you get to this level, some of these D linemen are so long and tall that they can stick their hand up and make it hard to throw the pass. But you know, over the years, it's been an effective tool for offenses, but yet it gets them in trouble as well.
All right, Ryan, thanks. We appreciate that. We go back to the phones. Todd has been waiting as well in Tampa. You're on Buccaneers Total Access here with the head coach. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. Coach, just want to focus on the positives, which is a great win. We never won out in Oakland, and you found a way to get it done. You know, true Buccaneer fans, we know it's a 60-minute, 70-minute ball game, so we knew that we and Ahmad Black coming through. We want to focus on you got the W, and that's what you get paid to do in this league, and you found a way to get it done, and no one's more happier than we are for you and the team. And Norv likes to run a lot of screens and this and that, but you came with pressure. You didn't back off on pressure, and that's when Carson overthrew that pass, and Ahmad picked it off to close the deal. And, you know, Doug Martin, you know, you won that game, Coach, 8 months ago when you traded up. Then you made some play. You made Vincent Jackson and Doug Martin picks. And that game was won, you know, on the field yesterday. But you did your homework. And God bless you. We're happier for you than you are for yourself and your family. And don't forget to vote so we can afford Buccaneer tickets because $4 gas ain't cutting it. God bless you, Coach, and thank you.
I love it, Todd.
Here's we got to
get you over here, man. That energy, I need that because right about now I'm dragging my tail after this cross-country trip, and you got me fired up. But I appreciate that. I agree with a lot of the things you're talking about there. $4 gas, I'm not sure about
right.
Who we're voting for, but that's another whole other subject. But I tell you, I was really, really proud of the guys, as I said, that the way they kept fighting. And you hit it on the head. It is a 60-minute game, and sometimes just a little bit longer than that. And in this league, anything can happen. You got to finish the game. We're getting better at that. We're learning how to do it. You know, it hasn't been pretty all every week, but I think as we go here, the cumulative reps build and our guys get more confidence, they're going to feel better and better about doing it.
Real quick on Ahmad Black, we have not stopped during this show tonight and talked specifically about him. This is a young man from the University of Florida, was on the roster last year. If you know anything about watching him in college, which I'm sure you probably did, he always seems to have a knack for making a big play. Two huge plays in this game. He recovers the onside kick, the interception where he's in the right spot. Just say something about the young man there.
Well, he definitely has a knack. You know, since we arrived here, he's had a knack of getting his hands on the football. And, you know, at the beginning, oh, he got lucky. But when you do it over and over and over again, it isn't luck. It's instinct and it's a feel for that kind of thing. And, you know, Ahmad is getting better and better in our scheme. And, you know, he's got a great guy to learn behind with Rondae Barber. And, you know, again, you know, I'm proud of the way that they're developing it. And, you know, when you listen to a guy like Todd on the phone, you know, it makes you realize how excited the fans are and how much they care. And, you know, that's important to us. You know, it is important that we go cross country and get that win, because now we get to come home here, 4-4 football team, and play in front of our fans at Raymond James Stadium. And I can tell you now, our players, they just can't wait.
We continue on the phone. Scott is in Brandon. You are next here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Scott.
Coach, first of all, thank you. Thank you for making Sundays relevant for me again. I'm going to say a couple of things that you probably can't say, but first of all, three of the top players in this draft are now on the Buccaneer roster. So kudos to you. Kudos to Mark Dominic for that. I would also say, when you look at Josh, Doug, VJ, and Mike Williams, I think you could come up with a quartet in this league that can match up with that those four players. If they're not the best, they're right near the top. So I think we're starting to see that, and that's something to be excited about. Lastly, you guys talked about Ahmad Black. I think there's a couple other guys like Eric Loring, Michael Bennett, Leonard Johnson playing his butt off out there. A lot of small guys contributing. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Coach. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, Scott, I think you touched on a lot of great points there, and you're right. The job that has been done by some of the high-profile guys, you know, the Vincent Jacksons, the Mike Williams, the rookies that have gotten a lot of attention, and justifiably so. But there are guys, like you mentioned, Eric Loring has done a great job. I mean, being a lead fullback, catching the ball when we throw it to him. You know, Mike Bennett, Mike's just continually been very, very productive, both in the pass rush and in the run game, TFLs and getting to the quarterback. And then you mentioned it, Leonard Johnson. In the last two games, Leonard's played really, really good football. I mean, think about it. He's played in two games, got two interceptions, plenty of passes defended. And, again, it's really cool that a local guy can do it. You know, from Largo High School now, you know, it's got to be a dream growing up to play on the Bucs, and now he's actually playing in games. It's just it's good stuff. And like I said earlier, we can't wait to get back at it and get prepared for those San Diego Chargers and be in our home stadium on Sunday.
Real quick, while we're here on those guys, I mean, you got to be able to find those guys, and in some cases you're finding them you know, off of somebody else's roster. They might be on the waiver wire. I mean, Ted Larson comes to this team a couple of years ago off the waiver wire, who was put into duty there. So, you know, sometimes it's a guy that maybe wasn't drafted that you're plugging in. This is part of, it's a big part of your depth, right, in the NFL, to be able to find those guys and be able to plug them in.
Well, you're right. And you know, we have, headed up by Mark Dominic, our general manager, we have a great personnel department. You know, with Dennis Hickey, you know, just going all over the place, doing anything he can to find players. Shelton Corliss on the pro side, just, you know, constantly scouring the tape and scouring the waiver wire. I think it's a great team effort that we have going on over here at One Buck, and everybody's working together, pulling in the same direction. And, you know, you find guys like, you know, like the guys that we've been able to find both in the draft, free agency, and college free agents. I think when you add it all up, that's how you get better, one player at a time, and hats off to those guys.
All right, we got time maybe for another call or two. Here is Tommy in New Jersey, who has been waiting. You are up here on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello.
Hello there. How you doing there, Coach? This is Tommy. I spoke to you a couple weeks ago. I'm from Point Pleasant. We're dealing with the hurricane up here, as you all know, and I hope if you have any family or friends still left up here that everything's okay.
Well, I appreciate that, Tommy, and I do. I've been kind of following it on the internet, and I saw Point Pleasant's one of my favorite places, and I saw it got hit especially hard. So hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we're just doing some lot of cleaning up. But me and my girl, we got an early flight coming down Saturday morning, and we're hooking up my buddy Scott from Stuart, Florida. But you're doing a great job, man. It's so fun to watch the team play. They look nice and loose out there. You know, the running game is going good. The passing, like Mike Williams is just like, man, he's like automatic on those catches. He pulls them out of the midair. But just keep doing the good work, and we'll take care of Jersey, and you take care of Tampa Bay, and hopefully I'll meet you someday down there.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Tommy. Thanks a bunch, man.
All right. And, you know, on that point, again, just elaborate as much as you want. You spent a large part of your life there in New Jersey and at Rutgers building that football program. And, you know, it kind of a few days later starts to wane from everybody else's consciousness. This is a very real thing still in the New York, New Jersey area and will be for days and weeks now, right?
Well, it really is, TJ. You know, my thoughts and prayers have gone out to all those folks up there. It's been devastating, you know, and again, they're not used to dealing with this kind of situation, you know, and it's really wiped out a lot of the seaside towns there, and, you know, I guess 7 million people from the Mid-Atlantic all the way up through New England were without power at some point. And, you know, it's been a real, real struggle in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, all the way up the coast, down by D.C., really a tough thing. But you know what? The great thing about the American spirit, they'll get it together. They'll clean it up and they'll rebuild it, and it'll be better than new. And, you know, that's just the way we roll here.
It's kind of neat that sports is a diversion. Sports is fun. I mean, we're in this as employment, but it's different than work or in something like this when you're talking about first responders, emergency relief, whatever. But sports can be a unifier. And while we were playing the Raiders, the Steelers and the Giants were playing. And in the pregame, all of the players and the coaches stood on the field with a lot of the first responders that the NFL and the Giants had invited. And they all held the American flag prior to the game. And what a symbolic moment there in New York when that was going on while we were playing on the other coast against the Raiders. Just a neat thing to see that in a time where we come together there on that. All right, we will have more here with the head coach on Buccaneers Total Access as we continue. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. We'll talk San Diego Chargers straight ahead. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, we're back in. It is Buccaneers Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. As we come back in, we get ready, Coach, to talk about San Diego Chargers. They will be at Raymond James Stadium Sunday, 1 o'clock. It is Military Appreciation Day, and it's Military Appreciation Month, actually, in the National Football League, Veterans Day for this weekend. So speaking of patriotism, we got that going on, but the most pressing situation is the Chargers themselves. What do you see out of San Diego coming off a Thursday night win at home?
Well, you know, when you look at San Diego, they're playing really good defense, and they got a quarterback who puts them in every game. You know, Phillip Rivers is a winner, and we're going to have our hands full, but can't wait to get into preparation with our players when they get back on Wednesday. And, you know, it's great to be after two road games coming back home to Raymond James Stadium and be with our fans.
You know, the weapons that they have on offense for San Diego, Ryan Matthews in the backfield, Malcolm Floyd at wide receiver, Gates, the big tight end, too, and then Rivers obviously is a veteran quarterback with playoff experience. So, you know, again, just elaborate a little bit more on the ways they can try to attack you there on their offensive scheme.
Well, you're right. When you have a tight end like Antonio Gates and receiver like Malcolm Floyd, Ryan Matthews toting the football, and then have a quarterback who is, you know, a proven winner, it's going to be a challenge, but one that our defense is looking forward to, I'm sure. Our guys, you know, I'm sure are already taking a look at these, you know, these guys, and by the time they get back on Wednesday, they'll have a good idea, and then we'll kind of lay it all out to them how we're going to try to stop them.
It's interesting how the NFL schedule works, because you don't see AFC teams but once every 4 years. It is certainly nowhere close to seeing a division team twice a year every year. Do you even go back and look at a past Buccaneer game with the Chargers, or is it just such a different NFL 4 years later that you just have to look at what they do recently and that's it?
Well, I think you have to look at more recently. You know, I throw it on, and I'm going to see Vincent Jackson. Well, we have Vincent Jackson now, so that's not going to help me a lot. But I think what they're doing now, where they are as a team, their personnel, you know, because personnel drives the bus. Personnel dictates what you're going to try to do schematically. And as personnel changes, I think scheme changes, because, you know, you have to fit it to what your guys can do.
And the Chargers, again, make that cross-country flight over now to the East Coast. People talk about this, and again, players go and play. Coaching staff prepares, and players go and play. But you guys were able to go out cross-country flight and put 42 points up on the board. We didn't really get into this back when we were talking about winning the game, but that again is impressive to have that kind of showing, not just win the game, but have that kind of showing on offense. It says something, I guess, for conditioning and for being in the right mental frame of mind, right?
Well, I think, you know, early on in the week, we stated how we were going to approach the thing, you know, how we were going to travel, what the potential landmines are if you're not aware of them. And I thought our guys handled it very professionally, you know, from top to bottom. They, you know, crossed three time zones. You know, you're in an airplane for 6 hours going out there. You better be careful. It's very easy to dehydrate, and, you know, that'll get you as an athlete. And our guys worked very hard at all the little things to make sure that they were ready. And even with that, you know, we were a little slow starting, but I kind of felt like if we could weather the storm early, we would play better as the game went on, and sure enough, the guys did.
And in this case now, you'll play a team that's facing that same challenge coming from the West to the East, just how the schedule plays out when you're playing the opposite coast division, whether it's a West or an East. That's how it works out. You mentioned coming back in front of the home fans. They have had two exciting road games to see and hear, and now I know your message is going to be you need Buccaneer fans there in large numbers, full voice, ready to go, take advantage of your home games, right?
Without a doubt. And, you know, I've said before, I've been in that stadium when it was packed to the top. And, man, you could hardly hear yourself think. And I'm hoping that we get a nice hot little cooker going on Sunday and we fill that place up and it's nice and loud and all part of the home field advantage.
I think the weatherman might be on your side because allegedly it's supposed to get a little cooler over the next couple of days. Cooler for us is relative because it's going to be like 70 instead of 80. But then by the weekend, I think I saw the outlook. It's back to 80, 82 with some humidity. You're nodding, you're smiling. That's, you know, part of the climate that we have, right? What you would expect.
Part of the Buccaneer advantage for sure.
All right. So that's obviously what we're looking for. One more time here to the Buccaneer fans. Say whatever you want to say because here we go with Sunday 1 o'clock.
Well, looking forward to seeing everybody. You know, like you said, it's been 2 weeks and on the road, and the guys are playing well. I think the confidence is growing, and it's going to be great to get back in front of our fans and in our home stadium. And the guys are going to work real hard this week getting ready, and we're going to come out and play well.
Coach, thank you, and it's going to be exciting, that's for sure, with the upcoming matchup with the San Diego Chargers. Again, that'll be Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we will have more. Stay with us here on this Monday evening as we continue. It is Buccaneers Total Access with Head Coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. We will be right back. It is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Again, Buccaneers put 42 points on the board. It is the greatest four-week stretch right now in Buccaneer history offensively. 28 points or more, 400 yards or more on offense for the first time ever in the history of the franchise, and a 42-point performance at Oakland on the road. So there's a lot of optimism right now on what this offense has been able to do. Doug Martin, again, the most Buccaneer rushing yards ever in a game. The first Buccaneer, and obviously only a rookie, to have four rushing touchdowns in a game. Just a tremendous job to go out to Oakland and get that win. And now Buccaneers will come home with a matchup with the San Diego Chargers. Chargers will come in at 4-4, Buccaneers at 4-4. And obviously a very important game moving forward to the second half of the season. That's for sure. Sunday, 1 o'clock. And again, it's Military Appreciation Weekend all around the NFL. And it is obviously Veterans Day this weekend. So Buccaneers will be doing a lot of different stuff with the military personnel. And we're anxious to see what's going to happen with Bucs and Chargers getting ready to go and get after it on Sunday at 1, and we're anxious to see. Go get your tickets. Get ready to go see Doug Martin, Josh Freeman, Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams, all of your stars from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back at home coming up Sunday here on the 11th. We look forward to it. All right, my thanks tonight to Eric Sachs for back at the station helping us out. Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. We'll talk to you next Monday night with another edition of Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach on the Buccaneers Radio Network.